this is your day to shine in your life, your situation. So I want to invite you to think about this question. Who is somebody that's a difficult person for you in your life? Who is a problem? They're irritating. They tick you off. And how are you going to shine with that person in your life? Many, many years ago, our oldest daughter, Laura, decided that she had a nemesis. For some reason, it was some poor guy who worked at Blockbuster Video. And every time she went in there, she would come home and talk about her nemesis. Nemesis was actually the name for the Greek goddess of revenge. And we go there with difficult people. Recent book, The Science of Revenge, describes revenge as the world's deadliest addiction and says our reward center release of dopamine actually gets all tangled up in our ruminating over our grievances and picturing vengeance against our enemies. And of course, when that happens, then I am captured in darkness and bitterness, and it is impossible for me to shine like the stars. There is a little question. It takes 1 second to answer it. And for somebody 2,000 years ago, and for me in my own life, it consistently brings a completely different, much larger perspective for dealing with problem folks. And so we'll get to that as we go through what Paul writes. Talking to the church at Philippi in the first chapter, he's been telling them that they know bad things have been happening in his life. And he says, you might be discouraged by that. You think it's getting in the way of what God wants to do or how he might use me. But actually, quite the opposite. Whatever circumstances go on, God is prepared and able to use them. And then Paul goes on. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Now, this is a remarkable passage where Paul is quite disclosing about these difficult people in his own life. And this is a real important part of it. These were not outsiders. They weren't Romans. They're not pagans. They are his brothers and sisters in Christ. These are people in the Christian community that are supposed to be preaching God that are causing him all this trouble. And he's very raw in his description of that. We might wonder, why does something so raw get clearance to be in the Bible? Is what Jerry Hawthorne writes in his commentary. Why Paul felt it necessary to disclose to the Philippians the weaknesses of some of these brothers who are with him in Caesarea is a mystery. Was it simply because he could not contain his own vexation at this personal attack? Was his spirit fretful as he wrote? Is this just a man who is unable to curb his agitated mind? And then Jerry goes on to say, perhaps so. And there's something wonderful about that thought. You know, he says, Paul was as subject to the full range of human emotions as all of us are. And maybe this is just Paul leaking and God decides to let it stand so that the Philippians and you and I would know, yep, we're all human, all in the same boat. But then Jerry goes on. He thinks something a little deeper is happening. It's more likely, Paul writes about these people who had wrong motives to make clear that such people do exist even within the Christian community. And therefore, the Philippian Christians should not be taken by surprise if such should arise in their midst, and neither should you or I. So we're talking now not just about problem people, but problem people who are or were very close to us. The deepest kinds of problem get into issues of betrayal. One of the Psalms I have read over and over the past 5 years or so is Psalm 55, and there's a couple of verses, I think 12 and 13, if a foe was insulting me, I could endure it. If an enemy were to rise up against me, I could hide. But it is you, my companion, my close friend, with whom I enjoyed sweet fellowship, but it is you. And that's where there's deep pain. Think of Jesus' statement to when he's in the garden and then he sees Judas, friend, whatever you have to do, it's you. It's you. And if you've experienced that, it's real deep, but you're not alone. And that's what's going on with Paul. And he wants to make something real clear. So I want to show a little bit about the kind of rhetoric that Paul uses here. There's a certain rhetorical method that can be used. It was admired a lot in the ancient world, and it's called chiasmus. It's from the Greek letter chi, which is shaped like an X. And it's when you're talking about two different words or phrases, and you use an ABBA structure. First, you talk about A, then B, and then you talk about B and then A. So if you were going to draw it out, you would do it like this. And the reason that this chiasmus was used in the ancient world was to make very, very clear the distinctions going on here, to make these words deeply memorable. And that's what Paul is doing. So he goes through, some are preaching Christ out of selfish ambition, and some do so out of goodness. So that's A, selfish ambition, some out of goodness. These do so out of love, knowing that I'm putting for the defense of the gospel. These do so out of selfish ambition. And then he goes on, the important thing is to say, whether from false motives or from true motives. So it's actually double chiasmic structure, because he wants to make it really clear there are these categories. It is possible to do even noble things like preaching the gospel from good motives or bad motives. And he wants to make that real clear in my mind, because, of course, it's not just other people out there who have that kind of problem. Why are they preaching the gospel? Why are they doing what they're doing? It's me. The biggest problem person in my life is me, and I will deal much better with the other problem people in my life when I begin with the realization that actually the biggest problem person in my life is me. And part of my task is to preach the gospel, but often I don't know fully why is it that I'm doing it. I was speaking someplace pretty recently. They asked me to write a set of bio for an introduction, and I just did a real simple one. I talked about Become New, and I'm a pastor, and I speak, and that was about it. And I thought, well, you know, they'll probably know who I am, and this will look kind of humble, so I can get credit for doing a lot and being humble. And then I went there, and a lot of people didn't know who I was, and there were other people speaking there, and their introductions were full of very impressive biographies. And I thought, oh, man, this was a bad idea. Well, I should have told a lot more stuff of what I had done. And what is revealed inside me is there's a lot of selfish ambition inside of me. And that all gets mixed up. See, part of what anger at difficult people makes us do is look at them in a real binary way. They're either good or they're bad. And of course, it causes me to think about myself as a good person. And Paul uses this structure to make these categories really clear. And part of the way that we want to apply that is by looking at ourselves and remember everybody's a mixed bag. And of course, Jesus is the master teacher on this. Before you try to remove that speck of selfish ambition out of the other person's eye, take a look at the plank that's in yours. The truth about me is that although I want to be thought of as humble, somebody put it like this, who grew up in a Scandinavian religious heritage. Under this thin veneer of modesty lies a monster of greed. I drive away faint praise, beating my little chest, waiting to be named sun god, king of America, idol of millions, bringer of fire, the great Haji, Thundar the boy giant. I don't want to say, thanks, glad you like the talk. I want to say, rise, my people, remove your faces from the carpet, stand, look me in the face. Well, I have that inside of me. I have problem people in my life, but the biggest problem person in my life is me. And when I'm able to remember that, not just abstractly, but to feel the reality of it, then I'm able to look at other people with more humility and maybe a little more empathy, and then move towards the little question that Paul asks. He lays out in a very comprehensive way, bad motives, good motives, out of love, trying to stir up trouble for me, all this stuff, Philippians, that you know, you kind of know about that's going on. It's actually happening inside the church, so we're not surprised by that. It doesn't shake our faith. We expect it because we know it inside of ourselves. And then the great question. Here's the question that I want to offer for me and for you as we go through this day. What does it matter? What does it matter? He actually uses two tiny little words in the Greek language of his day. Ti gar. So what? That's the question. So what? So what? Look at the worst. Whatever is going on in my life, whatever looks like it might be dark, so what? I think if you've ever seen the movie about the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where Jimmy Stewart is full of anger and self-pity and might be going to prison because money has been lost. And then an angel intervenes and he sees the meaning of his life. He sees the larger picture. He sees the transcendent reality, the power of heaven that loves him and uses him. And then he is converted. So what? Might be going to jail. I know, isn't it wonderful? So what? As I go through this day, I live in the hand of God. The place where I go for revenge rehab is the foot of the cross, that great chiasm where there is Christ who died for me so that I might live in him. And therefore, problems, my once close companion, you know, doing things that is painful for me, or financial problems, or health problems. Yep, it's painful, but it's not the end. So what? In light of the cross and the resurrection, whatever's going on in our world, whatever's going on in my life or your life today, whatever that difficult person is doing for bad motives, and God only knows, so what? So what? Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. This is your day to shine.
Hey, just on a walk today, and I just finished listening to that episode from John. And it's so true that we all have difficult people in our life, but my heart was drawn to think about how I can be really difficult for the people in my life, especially the people that I love, and inspired me to really just ask God, help me to be aware of that and to seek to be a blessing to those people that maybe see me as a difficult person, because guys, guess what? I can be really difficult sometimes. So that was my reflection. I'd love to know what your reflection is. Thanks for chiming in the comments. We read those every day and we care a lot about them and we care about you. The other thing we want you to know is that we meet to pray every day, actually twice a day during this series. So if you've got a prayer request, you can send it to us in the comments or you can email it to us or text it to us. You can find all our contact information in the show notes. And we will pray for you and with you. So, encourage you to do that. Thanks for joining us. I hope these videos are blessing you and helping you to become new one day at a time. We'll catch you next time.